Before I begin my sermon today, a little bit of Epiphany humor for you on the screens. If you can't see the text, one of the wise men apparently didn't get the message, and instead of frankincense, brought Frankenstein. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Well, many of you know that we have a wonderful partnership with a congregation, a Lutheran congregation in Puerto Rico. Actually, Cristo Rey is located in Carolina, Puerto Rico. And over the years, 6 years that we have, nearly 7 years that we have been in partnership with them, we have had opportunity to learn a great deal from them, and they have visited us as well. They have been suffering greatly after Hurricane Maria that struck the area just this past fall, and thanks to much of your generosity, they are grateful for the many gifts that our congregation has been able to offer them as they rebuild and regroup after such devastation. Well, it was about this time, about 6 years ago, that I made my first trip to visit Cristo Rey in Puerto Rico. And I remember with our group of travelers from Bethel, one of the first things we noticed was how there were so many decorations still around the different cities that we traveled through and in people's yards and even in the church itself that seemed to have Christmas linger all the more. Well, we were quickly reminded that it is the Feast of Epiphany, the Three Kings Day, that is a very big deal in Puerto Rico. In fact, yesterday, this whole weekend is just the beginning of weeks of celebrations and festivities to celebrate Three Kings Day. We learned a lot about how important this is in their tradition and how these festivities and parades include even the coming in of the three kings on horses and how exciting and fulfilling that is to see the three kings right in one's own city. In fact, the children have a tradition on Epiphany Eve of placing a box of grass or hay or straw under their bed. And in the night, it is believed that the three kings visit each home on their horses. And so the grass and the hay and the straw is for the horses as the three kings deliver gifts to the children. Well, it was marvelous to learn about all these festivities. But for most of us, Epiphany is one of those days that comes and goes without much fanfare or excitement, no special extra gifts under the tree or in the house delivered by kings on horses. For some, Epiphany is a birthday. Diane Tucker, who's right in the front row, her birthday is yesterday. For you, it's a big deal. But for most of us, those days come and go. But for the church, the season of Epiphany is one we savor. We savor that the light of Christ is not something that we pack away in our boxes with the Christmas tree lights and ornaments, but it continues to illuminate our lives. It continues to be a gift in this faith journey we are all set out upon to guide us in the way of the light of Christ. For it was only 2 weeks ago that we gathered here in this sanctuary, and it was aglow with light. All of the artificial lights were turned off. The overhead lights were turned off. The lights on the trees were turned off. There's a light behind the cross that illuminates the glass stained glass window. Turned off, darkness except for one light, the light of the Christ candle. And from this light, we took out a bit of that light to you, and all around the sanctuary was no more artificial light, just true, pure light. It's a magical evening. It's a holy time. We sing together, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. We savor the light. Isaiah, in his prophetic word, must have understood the importance of light, especially to those who are walking in darkness. He says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." For me, those words harken back to that same feeling I had in this sanctuary just a few weeks ago, holding that little bit of light. And as we arose in our seat and as we sang together, there was a sense of calm and hope and purity in that light. For Isaiah, this was a word preached to a people who had survived a time of exile, and they had trusted in the glory of the Lord. That phrase is very important for Isaiah to include, that the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For them, the glory of the Lord equated God's presence. The glory of the Lord was that which led them through the wilderness with a pillar of light. The glory of the Lord was that which resided in the tabernacle in times of worship. The glory of the Lord was present with the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. And now Isaiah says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord, that presence, is with you. Where there is glory, there is light. Where there is light, the glory of the Lord is revealed. We need that epiphany in this day as well. It's why Isaiah has been read for centuries on Epiphany Day and into the season of Epiphany, because it reminds us that we too are drawn from a great and glorious light into the orbit of a small child, vulnerable, but filled with promise and hope and light. And that is the same experience for us today. We see a great and glorious God. We worship this glorious God this morning, but we are reminded that that God comes to us where we are at, in our own orbit, in our own needs, and continues to draw us into the light. One of my favorite stories that the former Bishop of Nebraska, David DeFries, would tell was in his time as a school teacher. He served as a school teacher for several years before going into the ministry, and he loved his job and calling to work with developmentally disabled children. He tells the story of a little boy named Ed. Ed would carry with him a flashlight everywhere he went. If not in his hand, it was at his side or nearby, easy to access. Well, one day, Dave asked Ed, why do you have that flashlight with you? And he was even as bold to ask, are you afraid of the dark? Well, Ed said with confidence, no, I carry my flashlight with me every day because I believe it pokes holes in the darkness and I don't have to be afraid. I believe on some level, we are all afraid of the dark. Afraid of those dark circumstances or experiences that may come our way. Epiphany is a wonderful assurance to us that we have a light that pokes holes in the darkness, so we do not have to be afraid. We may not have that light with us every moment of the day in the sense of a flashlight, but we do have a sign of that light, that promise, in the sign of the cross marked on our forehead in our baptisms. We carry that light with us, almost like a headlamp, a beacon that continues to guide us in our journey. That light shines for us so that we can navigate the darkness when it comes, and it will. We even name those places of darkness in our baptismal liturgy and say, no, the light of Christ is stronger. The light of Christ breaks open the darkness so we do not have to be afraid. We even have significance in our liturgy with the candles that we just saw our newly baptized bring with them again. We light these candles and we say to each of the baptized, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Glorify. Glory to God. Where there is glory, there is the presence of God. This light comes from the Paschal candle, or again, this light of Christ, the Lamb of God, and then we believe illuminates through the life of the newly baptized. But sometimes, I think as Christian children of God, we get caught up in thinking that that light that we shine forth is something that in some way will reflect back on us, make us look a little better, maybe add a few more points to our point grid in God's particular book. Or maybe we think we get a little extra light shone on us when we do those good things. But that isn't the purpose of the light of Christ. In fact, the light of Christ illuminates, breaks open those dark places within us. It exposes us and our sinful state to say that we need once again to be awash with forgiveness and grace. So then the true light can shine. And then the glory of the Lord is revealed. We need more of these epiphanies in our world today. You and I need the light. Isaiah understood this to a people once of old, but now yet today that word hearkens true for us as well. In fact, Isaiah repeats an important phrase as we continue reading into Isaiah chapter 60. He says, "Lift up your eyes and see." In fact, that is used several times in Isaiah. Oftentimes, if we keep our heads low, our eyes are focused only on ourselves. But Isaiah says, "Lift up your eyes, look around, see all that the Lord is doing." In fact, some biblical scholars have said this should be interpreted, "Lift up your hearts and see," more than just vision and eyesight. An experience that transforms our heart. For this is what an epiphany does in our lives. It transforms us. It helps us to say, aha, I understand, I see, I experience, I know all the more how the work of Christ is alive and active even in the darkened places of our world. This season of Epiphany is a wonderful opportunity for you to hear again the promise that the light has come for you, the light shines through you, and you now are a beacon of hope with that light for others who may be wandering in darkness. So arise, 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 shine, your light has come. Amen.